apparently died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. And a report from Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry says five county departments overspent their respective budgets last year by almost $10 million. The Sheriff's Department and County Attorney's Office were the two biggest offenders. The report was released as the county departments begin the process of drawing up their budgets for the new fiscal year. And Park Avenue near the University of Arizona will be closed for about 2 weeks starting Monday. Crews will be replacing a water main and installing service to the new high-rise housing on Park between Speedway and 2nd Street. Tucson water officials are also saying Park between Speedway and 1st Street will be closed late next month to remove a crane from the project. And the number one Arizona Wildcats host Southern University from Baton Rouge tonight at 7 o'clock in McAllen. Southern is 3-7. The game will be televised on the Pac-12 network. Weather in Tucson today, going to be sunny but breezy out there. Gusts getting as high as 34 miles an hour. Sustained winds around 20 miles an hour. 30% chance of showers hitting us tonight. Overnight low at 45. 53 degrees tomorrow with a 90% chance of rain. Right now going into the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice.
Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with my ace producer, Rosemary Brandt. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday, December the 19th, 2013. Hope you are having a good day and getting ready for Christmas. Now, less than a week away. Hard to believe. The Buckmaster Show is live each weekday. We are here from 12:04 to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We are also Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, a station with great reach. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com. That's my website and the station's website, kvoi.com. And we also make it very easy for you to hear our programs anytime, anywhere through our podcast programs. Again, at my website, buckmastershow.com, we also post the program to tucsoncitizen.com and tucsonsentinel.com. We also have three other media partners who have links to our show: Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News, and Sahorita Sun, and Blog for Arizona. We are very thankful for our media partners who help us spread the word of the Buckmaster Show. During this noon hour, we will have a newsmaker interview with Bishop Gerald Kakanis of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Tucson. At 12:30, we'll talk some sports with Anthony Gimeno. Anthony is the Buckmaster Show contributor on Wildcat Sports. He'll break down the upcoming bowl season. And my goodness, the Wildcats basketball team, number one in the country. So a lot going on with Wildcat Sports. If you have a question or comment, we invite you to call us at 790-2040 on our live line. If you have some sports questions, get them ready for 12:30. Or if you have some questions or comments for Bishop Kakanis, he would be happy to entertain your questions or comments. And of course, we invite you to join us on our Facebook page. Now over 3,000 friends of the Buckmaster Show. We're easy to find. It's Bill Buckmaster on Facebook. Let's welcome now Gerald Kakanis, the Bishop of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Tucson. Bishop, good to see you.
Same here, Bill. Good to be with you.
Great to have you with us this holiday season. How's the diocese doing financially right now, Bishop?
Well, as you know, we went through a very difficult time around 2003 and 2004, having actually to go into Chapter 11. But I must say that through the generosity of our people, I think two things have taken place. One is that I think a great deal of trust has been restored. I think we've tried to address this issue of sexual abuse of minors by priests as directly and as forthrightly as possible. I think the victims who suffered deeply from this terrible event that happened in their lives have been properly compensated. And so we're moving forward, and we just finished a capital campaign, Our Faith, Our Hope, Our Future, which I'm pleased to say is going to reach its goal of $28 million, which is going to help us to buy land for future parishes. It helps our priest retirement fund. It was made possible the renovation of our cathedral, which everyone seems to like so very much, and helped us in improving our Catholic schools and our religious education program. So it's been a tremendous example of good stewardship on the part of our people, giving of their resources to help the mission of the church.
And just like the Diocese of Tucson really addressing these social problems head on, the new Pope, the Pontiff Francis, really winning high marks for his forthrightness. The man is just very open to change. And how has that filtered down to the diocese level?
Well, it's amazing, Bill. Everywhere I go, if I have my collar on, people will say, what do you think of the new Pope? And before you can get a word in edgewise, we really like him. And I may even go back to church. So the Francis factor is a huge event happening in our society today. And Pope Francis' simple, humble, transparent manner has, I think, captured the hearts of all of us. I have not yet had the privilege of meeting Pope Francis, but I feel I know the man because he's made himself so visible and presented what the church is really supposed to be about. He says we must be a poor church in the service of the poor. And I know it's touched my heart. It's touched the heart of many bishops, I think. You know, he tells us we have to take on the smell of the sheep. We have to be where our people are. We can't be apart, aloof, uninterested. And he's demonstrated that by his own pastoral style. He's a true pastor, and I think has been, for me and my prayer, a model of what I hope to be in our own diocese.
And the Hispanic growth within the Roman Catholic Church has been tremendous. And, of course, Francis coming from Argentina, that's really helped in that factor, too.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, we just celebrated the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and in every one of our parishes, the turnout has been phenomenal. People have a tremendous devotion to Our Lady of Guadalupe. And our Hispanic community is such a vibrant part of our community. We just accepted the other day a pastoral plan for our Hispanic community here in the Diocese of Tucson. Sister Gladys has been working on that. She's also from Argentina, by the way. And she has done a fabulous job along with her team to help us find better ways of serving our Hispanic community and trying to meet the pastoral needs of the people from that community.
We're speaking with Bishop Gerald Kakanis of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Tucson. Bishop Kakanis, tell us about this. It was really an important day last month, November 21st, this gathering where nearly 400 Arizona community leaders representing business, education, religion, health care, law enforcement, social services met simultaneously in four cities here in Tucson, Phoenix, Yuma, and Sedona. This was a gathering titled Arizona Speaks. What was that all about?
Well, for some time now, people from various spheres of our community have been talking about what we can do as Arizonans to make known our concern for comprehensive immigration policy reform. And I was just amazed to see the openness of people throughout our state who see that the immigration system is a broken system. It has to be addressed. And so whether you were talking to business leaders, religious leaders, from the health community, from education, all of us had the same hope that somehow Arizona, which is oftentimes given a bad name, would actually speak up on behalf of immigration reform. You know, our two senators, Senator Flake and Senator McCain, have been part of the Gang of Eight, as it's called, pushing forward comprehensive immigration policy reform. And what this group of over 400 leaders from all around the state want to say is that we can't kick the ball down the road anymore. We have to address this issue and address it forthrightly because it has economic benefits for our state. It has civic responsibility advantages for us. And obviously, it's a moral question, which is why the church is involved.
Immigration reform would take, in your opinion, what would you like to see if indeed immigration reform is pushed to the front burner in Congress in 2014?
Well, I think it would include a number of things. First of all, that there would be legal ways for people who want to work here to be able to have legal access to entry into the country. No one approves illegal immigration. Illegal immigration isn't good for the person himself or herself. And we know many people are dying in our desert trying to enter the country illegally. And it's not good for the country not to know who is present among us. So we need to replace illegality with legality, finding appropriate ways for people to come who want to work, who want to contribute to our society. Secondly, there are about 12 million people currently in the United States living in the shadows, and there needs to be some kind of a pathway for them to legalization. I think the Senate bill has made clear that there ought to be a path. There ought to be fines. There ought to be stepping behind the line, not jumping ahead, but some kind of legal avenue for people so that they can come out of the shadows and really contribute. And the third important area is family unification. For churches, the separation of families, the divisions of families, is not a healthy thing for a community. And so we need to work at trying to bring about a unification of families. It's not helpful when a father is deported and not able to care for his family. It's not helpful when a child is deported. And so we need to try and address the issue of family unification. I think there's a lot of support now in the community, not only in Arizona, but throughout the country. And I think we ought to be able to find an appropriate way to address the issue of immigration. Our country has many benefits, and it needs the help of people who want to work here. Now, yes, there are criminal elements, and the border has to be defended. There's drug trafficking, there's weapons trafficking, there's human trafficking. All these are outrageous activities that have to be curtailed. But for the person who is really coming here to bring their gifts and talents to the contribution of our community, we need to find a way for that to legally happen.
And some of this was articulated in your op-ed piece that was in the Arizona Daily Star on Sunday. You co-authored that with Jim Click as further evidence of the business and religious communities coming together.
Yes, and that's been one of the marvelous things. I think of people who attended that gathering on November 21st. Everyone was just amazed that so many facets of our community could come together and publicly state that we want immigration reform. Our business community was hugely represented. Jim had a huge part in that. He sees the importance of this issue for our society, for our community, and he's an important voice, as were many of the other business leaders who were there. Educational leaders were present, and religious leaders in good numbers. So I think it says that our society sees that the system is broken. Everybody has said that. Now we have to get about fixing it.
All right. Coming up now on 12:16 on the Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show, we are going to take our first break of the hour right here, and we ask that you listen very carefully and support these fine people who support the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back with Bishop Gerald Gacanis after this.
When you give to United Way of Tucson and Southern Arizona, you create opportunities for positive change in the lives of more than 100,000 children, families, and seniors in our community. So be a part of the change. Visit UnitedWayTucson.org.
This is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. When you step out of your shower, you expect to be refreshed and, of course, cleaner than when you stepped in, right? The fact is, hard water builds up on your shower doors, stalls, fixtures, faucets, and on you. Let's be honest. If it's on your shower door and fixtures, it's on your skin, your hair, appliances, and plumbing too. What a mess. But take it from me, save yourself a lot of trouble, money, and headaches by saying, "Hey, Culligan man, Culligan has been solving water concerns for over 60 years. Our Culligan representative will do a system evaluation to ensure you get the right solution for your home and family." It doesn't matter whether you have city or well water, Culligan can make your water better with an easy solution that fits any budget. by a Culligan Water system for only $9.95 per month on the first three rental payments with an annual service agreement. Call us at 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
When you give to United Way of Tucson and Southern Arizona, you create opportunities for positive change in the lives of more than 100,000 children, families, and seniors in our community. So be a part of the change. Visit UnitedWayTucson.org.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Bishop Gerald Kakanis of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Tucson is with us. We'll be talking sports coming up at about 12:33. Anthony Jamino will be here talking Wildcat basketball and football. And speaking of sports, Bishop, Sal Point had a pretty good football team.
Well, we're very, very proud, Bill, that the South Point Lancers took their first state championship in Division II for the first time in their history.
Wow.
And Yuma Catholic High School, which is also part of the diocese, had their second state championship this year. So we're very proud. Go Wildcats, but go Lancers and go Shamrocks.
Just a really good time to be in Tucson for sports, Bishop. Getting back to the Pope, the Pontiff, Pope Francis, he really wants to hear from the different dioceses, especially on the issue of marriage.
You know, there is a plan now, an extraordinary synod in Rome for 2014 and an ordinary synod in 2015 on marriage and family. And one of the things Francis has made clear to bishops is that he wants to hear from people about their experiences, about their struggles, about their questions. And so over the course of the last several weeks, we have sent out a survey to all of our priests, religious deacons, and lay leaders in the diocese, plus on my Monday memo, which comes out every Monday, and there was a link there for people to fill out. We had probably almost 300 responses to the survey. The questions are very pointed. They cover issues like same-sex marriage, contraception, divorce and remarried individuals, and the issue of communion. And I must say, people were so pleased and so grateful that there was an interest to hear their thoughts and their ideas. Now, obviously, the church doesn't make its doctrine based on polls or surveys, but it was a clear example, again, of the Pope's desire to hear from everyone, to hear what they're thinking, how the church can become more alive, more vibrant in the lives of its people.
How are the membership numbers for the Roman Catholic faith look these days?
Well, of course, there's
it depends, of course, what region you're in.
Right,
very much regionalism.
So each year there's what's known as the RCIA, the Rite of Christian Initiation of Adults, where people who are not Catholic, some who have never been baptized, some who have been baptized in other faiths, learn about the faith and enter the church through baptism or reception at the Easter Vigil. And this is one of the best-kept secrets. There are hundreds of people all around the diocese who do that. Now, we're also experiencing people who are leaving the church, and this has been one of the preoccupations of Pope Francis, how we can welcome people back home. And in the diocese, we've had several attempts in the past to say to our Catholics who have left, who are alienated, to come home. We miss them. And so there's both those who are entering the church for the first time. There are those who have left and now are returning. There are those who left and we want to reach out to and invite and remind them that this is their home.
You mentioned downtown, the cathedral. Everybody is raving about the job that was done there.
Well, we're very pleased. I wasn't sure, you know, when you do renovation, you're never sure how people will react. But John Allen, who is the designer and architect for the cathedral, did a fabulous job. The mural in the vestibule has been so well received. And so I've heard really nothing but very positive comments.
Now, the Marist College building, you're kind of caught in the middle on that deal.
Yeah, this is one of our challenges because the cathedral is one of several buildings on Cathedral Square, which is our very important place here in downtown Tucson. And as we try to restore and revitalize downtown, I think Cathedral Square remains an important piece of that revitalization. We have a historic hall, we have a historic chapel, we have a historic building at Marist College. It's been a challenge because preservationists and many of us would like to hold on to the history of our city, and this is one of the few remaining pieces of that. On the other hand, our donors are saying that they don't feel it's sufficient to spend the $3 million that would be necessary to restore this building. We're still exploring options. We're still looking into every possibility from tearing the building down to forming a park with a remembrance of the history of this building, which was the first desegregated school in Arizona. It has
really
a very rich and important history. Or possibly cosmetically restoring it so that the building doesn't look to be such a blight on the city. And
maybe restore the outside of the building initially, and then maybe when times are better, worry about the interior.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It is the Christmas season, and of course, we always like to ask you what your message is going to be this Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And I know you always have a message.
Well, you know, Bill, this is a time of great concern for many people. If you look over in the Middle East, people are living in desperate situations because of the civil war in Syria. I've had the humbling experience to be in Turkey, to be in Egypt, to be in Lebanon, to see the plight of refugees who have fled this horrendous civil war. And people are living in desperate situations. Tucson itself has tremendous poverty, people who barely have enough to survive. The message is a message of hope. Christ came as the Prince of Peace. He came to restore peace, to give hope to people. And that's, I think, one of the purposes of the church is to provide, in the midst of conflict, in the midst of difficulties, in the midst of struggles, a glimmer of light and hope. And that's, for me, what Christmas is all about. It's the joy that comes in knowing the Lord knows all of our suffering. He knows what it's like to experience loss and pain, and He is there with us through all of these struggles, bringing us a sense of hope and assurances of peace.
Was there a particular point in your life, early in your life, where you knew that this was going to be a calling for you? Was there any kind of a lightning strikes moment for Gerald Kakanis?
You know, my dad was actually raised by a priest. His mother died when he was very young. His father was not able to take care of the children, and he went to an orphanage in Lafayette, Indiana, to be with Father Freiberger. And Father Freiberger was a great hero to my dad. And I had a chance to learn about the importance of priests in the lives of other people. And I began to think maybe that's something I would like to do, to be able to use my life and give my life and spend my life serving others and doing for others. And then I had a lot of wonderful models of that in priests that I knew from the Archdiocese of Chicago who really taught me about the importance of caring for others. And one particular priest, Monsignor Cantwell, who was my first pastor, was very involved in many social justice issues and deeply engaged in bringing hope to people who lived in desperate situations, and he was a great inspiration to me.
And congratulations to your mother, 101.
101, and Bill, she rides the stationary bike for 80 minutes a day, and I didn't believe it, but she had to show me when I was home for Thanksgiving.
Well, please give her our love and best this Christmas season. Bishop, thank you very much, and Merry Christmas to you and yours, Bishop Kakanis.
Thank you very much, Bill, and Merry Christmas to all of your listeners, and many blessings.
Thank you very much, Bishop Gerald Kakanis, spending a half an hour with us on the Buckmaster Show. Anthony Jimeno is up next. We're going to talk Wildcat football and basketball, 790-2040. If you would like to join in the conversation talking sports, that's coming up next on the Buckmaster Show.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. New Mexico's highest court has legalized same-sex marriage, the Supreme Court saying it's unconstitutional to deny a marriage license to homosexual couples. New Mexico is joining 16 other states and the District of Columbia in allowing same-sex marriage. One security analyst says it's alarming that Target could experience a data breach, putting up to 40 million credit and debit card accounts at risk, considering all of the security the store chain has in place. President Obama today is commuting the sentences of 8 people he says were serving unduly harsh terms for drug crimes. Rain and higher humidity helping firefighters battling that late fall wildfire in California's Big Sur region. On Wall Street, the NASDAQ is down about 14 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with 2 separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient, it can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Inside Tucson Business is your best source for the business news of metropolitan Tucson. Whether you own or manage a company, want to start your own company, or just want to know what's happening with the region's economy, you need to read Inside Tucson Business, Southern Arizona's business news leader. Read us online at InsideTucsonBusiness.com or call 294-1200 to get your copy today. Inside Tucson Business. It's not personal. It's just business.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. Since 1987, Tucson's been home to one of America's premier sources of fine Persian and top quality imported rugs at competitive and affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 26 years as the place to see one-of-a-kind, new and antique quality rugs. The Rug Gallery in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and at RugGalleryAZ.com and on Facebook or call 571-RUGS or 571-7847.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 12:35 on this Thursday afternoon. Our Friday Focus interview tomorrow will be with the president of the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board. Adelita Grijalva will be joining us tomorrow for our Friday Focus interview. Right now, we're going to talk sports with Anthony Jamino. Anthony is a sports journalist who has spent much of the past two decades covering University of Arizona athletics, including covering the football beat for the Arizona Daily Star, and most recently being a sports columnist for TucsonCitizen.com. In between that time, he was college football editor at CBSSportsLine.com, and he still maintains a national presence as the senior editor for Lindy's Football Annuals. And we welcome now Anthony Jamino. Anthony, it's a good time to follow Wildcat sports right now with the football team and the basketball team being number one.
It's a very busy time and a good time. It's been, these last couple months were football and basketball intersect is so busy, and I think for fans, other than I guess we can forget that ASU football game, but generally been a pretty rewarding fall so far for Arizona fans.
Kadeem Carey is the first Arizona offensive player to become a consensus All-American for two straight years. This is really a big deal, isn't it?
I think so. I mean, in the summer, I did my countdown of the top 50 football players of all time, Arizona football players. And at the time, with Kadeem having one excellent year behind him, I had him rated somewhere, I think about 37, 38 or so. If I did that list today, I think he'd be all the way up to number five in terms of the greatest football players in Arizona history. And the only reason he wouldn't be higher is the first four guys were all in the College Football Hall of Fame. And there's no saying that in 15, 20 years, Kadeem may be in the College Football Hall of Fame too, because being a consensus All-American is one of the criteria to be nominated for such an honor down the road. Now, you also have to consider if he comes back for his senior year, the things he can do statistically, in terms of honors, may be unmatched in Arizona history.
It is fascinating to see this play out, and I've read different accounts about the thought, what apparently is going through the thought process with Mr. Carey concerning whether he will be coming back. If he comes back, we're talking, certainly he's got to be considered as one of the front runners, wouldn't he be, for the Heisman?
I think so. And this year, he would have had the entire offseason build up to the Heisman this year if he hadn't had his own issues off the field, which are entirely his fault, so there's really nobody else to blame for that. If he comes back, and he's kind of talked about it, how important it is to be a Heisman finalist or maybe win the Heisman, to gain 2,000 yards in a season, to be a consensus or perhaps unanimous All-American for the third year in a row. He could make a run at the Pac-10, Pac-12's all-time rushing record, which is currently held by Charles White, who ran for USC in the 1970s. That would be a huge record to have. Now, some of that's just ego on Kadeem's part. All that stuff would be nice. He'd almost be, he would be kind of the football version of what Sean Elliott is to Tucson, especially if he can lead Arizona to a really huge season. On the other hand, he can start getting paid this spring after the draft. And he's not putting a whole nother year of running back punishment on his body. And that's usually a big thing with running back. There's the conventional wisdom is that there's only so many carries a running back has in his career. And do you want to use 300, 350 of those up as a senior in college, or do you want to do it while getting paid? He himself says he's torn between a lot of different things. And those are some of the kind of things he has to decide.
Well, he was not happy on that, the Walker Award going to the Boston College running back who he'll be facing off with, and suddenly makes this matchup in Shreveport on New Year's Eve, New Year's Eve morning, really intriguing, doesn't it?
I think so. I think if you aren't a fan of Boston College or Arizona, this would be a reason to tune in to the game. And I think this is why the bowl game kind of matched up these teams. The bowl had some choices, but Andre Williams, the number one running back in the country who won the dope, who was invited to the Heisman ceremony, versus Kadeem, who's number two. They are your consensus All-America running back, which a number one, that kind of matchup hasn't happened in a bowl game ever before. Now, Kadeem met Andre when they were there in Orlando for the Doak Walker ceremonies. Said they got along great, had a great time. They're kind of buds now. They've got all kind of inside jokes. I almost find it. I know a lot of people have said, "Oh boy, Kadeem's really gonna run hard in this game now, and really has something to prove." And I think that line of thinking is kind of insulting to Kadeem. It's like saying, "Oh yeah, well, what has he been doing all year?" I mean, I don't think there's been a case where he's ever kind of loafed or not given his 100%. So to say that he's like extra fired up for this game, I don't even know if that's possible. I think he's going to beat Kadeem, which is plenty enough.
I've been watching college football my entire life, and what I saw with Kadeem in that Oregon game, how many carries? Was it 40? He carried
48.
The ball. How many?
48
carries. Just unbelievable being to see someone take that kind of a punishment. And you're right. You know, when you think about it, if he does go to the pros, you might as well, of course, get paid for that. But whether he'll come back, I guess, when would that decision be made? Is that something that's made after the bowl season? Or
he said yesterday he will decide. He will most likely make some kind of announcement at some point after the bowl game. I believe the deadline to declare for underclassmen to declare for the NFL draft is January 15th. So he'll have, you know, a few more weeks from today. He'll have a couple weeks after the bowl game if he wants to take it all. One of the things that will influence his decision is the NFL has a committee that you can submit your name to, and they will return what your probable draft status is. They'll do some research for you and tell you if you're projected to be a first round pick, second round pick, second to third round pick, that kind of thing. If it comes back that he's projected as maybe a third round pick, that may not be good enough for Kadeem. He may decide, you know what, I can come back, have another huge year, maybe get better in some ways, maybe get a little tick faster, and improve himself to where he's a first-round pick. Maybe he can, maybe he can't. I'm kind of on the mind that we've seen enough of Kadeem. I think Kadeem already is what he is. I'm not sure how much he can necessarily improve himself in terms of NFL draft status. If it comes back, he's a likely second-round pick at least. I think he'll go, but that draft status from the NFL may come back, and it may not be to his liking, which would be to Arizona's liking because he'll come back.
All right, coming up on 12:45, we're going to take a break right here. We're with Anthony Jimeno, TucsonCitizen.com. We strongly urge you to check out TucsonCitizen.com. Anthony is posting basketball and football stuff multiple times a day. We'll talk basketball when we come back. 790-2040, 790-2040. Be right back.
Eagle Eye Rare Coins is Tucson's only nationally recognized coin dealer. For more than 20 years, owner and rare coin expert Rick Snow has been Tucson's trusted advisor in evaluating your coins, currency, collectibles, gold, and silver. Eagle Eye Rare Coins at 6464 East Grant Road, next to the Fort Lowell Post Office, and on the web at TucsonSilverAndGold.com or call 498-4615.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Have you had a chance to visit Biosphere 2's engaging Facebook page yet? Our likes have doubled the last 30 days, so check it out and you'll see why. Inspire and stimulate your mind with all the exciting things going on both inside and outside every day at Biosphere 2. Experience our new architecture, engineering, and history tours. The University of Arizona's Biosphere 2, a world of discovery and adventure. Like us on Facebook and visit today.
In my 25 years in Tucson, I have had only one dentist, Dr. Lisa Fogel. This highly skilled dental professional has a caring, friendly, can-do attitude that makes Dr. Fogel the choice of the Buckmaster family. Dr. Fogel's lovely state-of-the-art dental office is conveniently located on North Swan, just south of Speedway. For an appointment, call 881-1856 or visit lisafogeldentalessentials.com.
Chance plays a big part in today's world. There's a 5% chance you were born with an extra rib, a 12% chance we'll have a solar megastorm in the next decade, and a 20% chance that if you got in a road accident in Sweden, it was caused by an elk. Well, Cox Business understands that chance has no place in running a small business. Get business internet and phone for just $99 a month and enjoy the 100% certainty that comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's right, you get 100% certainty with phone features like on-the-go voice manager and internet speeds faster than basic DSL. Plus, 100% confidence with service that's been honored with the J.D. Power Award for highest in customer satisfaction with small mid-sized business wireline service. Make the switch today and get some certainty in an otherwise uncertain world. There's now a 99% chance this commercial is over, except for the legal.
Offer ends 12/31/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply. Must be claimed within 30 days of service activation. Other conditions apply. For J.D. Power Award information, go to jdpower.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the Buckmaster Show brought to you by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, just three and a half hours east of Tucson to historic Silver City, known for its vibrant arts community. In fact, Silver City is one of America's top 100 arts communities. Downtown is really host to a variety of galleries, historic buildings, fine dining, and quaint homes. There's plenty of great accommodation in the Silver City area, including Bear Mountain Lodge, Casitas de Gila guest houses, and Little Toad Creek Inn. You can find out more at southwestnewmexico.org. Let's go back now to the Buckmaster Show live line. Anthony Jimeno is with us, sports columnist for TucsonCitizen.com. Anthony, a lot of people are comparing this Wildcat number one basketball team to kind of the glory days of Lute Olson and, of course, the championship year. Are the comparisons valid?
Well, it is only mid-December after all. And last year the team was 14-0 before stumbling a little bit in conference play. I think this team is better than that. But the league is difficult. Arizona's not going to go through undefeated. They're not going to be number one all season. I think where the comparisons do have some value is that this doesn't look to be a one-time thing. You know, Sean Miller, with the way he's built the program, the way he is building and recruiting, is that this is just the beginning of the beginning, and that we can see, as Lute Olson did through basically the late 1980s through maybe the mid-2000s, was an unbelievable string of championships, high NCAA tournament seeds, Final Fours. And I think that's kind of what gets people excited, is that no matter what happens this year, they're going to be back next year to try to do the same thing, and probably the year after that and the year after that. So as long as Sean Miller stays around, as long as Lute Olson did, this looks to be kind of glory days part two.
What impressed me, and I think a lot of us here in Tucson, that game at Michigan in a very hostile environment, how the Wildcats really hung around and just stayed tough, very good at the free throw line, and it was a ball club that really showed a lot of composure. Would you agree?
I agree. I asked Sean about that earlier this week, kind of about where that comes from. Not every team has that. And with this team, where it comes from is T.J. McConnell at point guard. He's a guy the rest of his teammates can really trust in terms of knowing what to do, diagnosing the situation, not turning the ball over, getting everybody else in position to take good shots. And that's really the difference in this year's team, is that Arizona has a guy like that, with Sean Miller, really hasn't had in his first four seasons. So when the guy who's controlling the ball has that composure and calmness about him, it rubs off on everybody else. And even and that includes down to the freshmen like Darren Gordon, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, who really, in terms of a basketball sense, are mature well beyond their years.
Sean Miller really gets high marks as a recruiter, doesn't he?
Absolutely. And you know, one of the things he talked about this week with the when Arizona announced their plans to renovate and improve McHale Center was that some of this has already been ongoing. They've redone the locker room. The Richard Jefferson practice gymnasium is not very old. They've added a weight room and training center in that building devoted just to basketball. And some of these facility things have helped Sean Miller pull in top 10 recruiting class after a top 10 recruiting class. And what the McHale renovations will do will make sure that Sean or whoever the coach is has that same chance to do that for the next 20, 25 years. So this new wave, which will cost Arizona $80 million, is really about the future. But some of the stuff they've already done has helped Sean Miller be able to close the deal on an Aaron Gordon, a Brandon Ashley, Caleb Tarzewski, these kind of amazing McDonald's All-America, top 10 in the nation kind of recruits. So it goes hand in hand. He's a great recruiter, and he's got the support and financial support of the administration.
Going back to football in the bowl season, the Pac-12, how does it look for the bowl season?
You know, the Pac-12 has nine teams.
Wow.
In the postseason, nine teams in bowl games. And as of right now, all nine are favored to win the game. So I guess they have nowhere to go but down if somebody loses the game. But I think that says two things. The league is really deep, and the league has some fairly unimpressive bowl alliances. And what I mean by that is that sometimes you look at, say, the Holiday Bowl, where a team like Arizona State is going as the third team from the Pac-12, they're playing the fifth team from the Big 12. So other teams necessarily aren't sending a kind of an equal team, if you know what I mean. But, you know, I know fans have complained for a long time about, oh, the Pac-12 doesn't have really great bowl tie-ins. They've improved a little bit over the years, and part of the problem is that there aren't a lot of good bowl games in the West Coast. There's just not a deep roster of postseason games. Most of those are found in the Southeast, kind of SEC, ACC country. And no bowl from that part of the country is going to pull out a team from the Pac-12 to come because Pac-12 teams don't travel very well. But it should be a fun postseason for the Pac-12, especially if they're able to win 7, 8, or 9 of those games. And a lot of people base their impression of how good a league is by how it does in the postseason.
And the Wildcats football team is going the junior college route with some transfers. Looks like a half dozen will be added to next year's roster, putting some fingers in the dike, I guess, huh?
That's pretty much what you go to junior colleges for. And Rich Rodriguez didn't really tap the junior colleges very hard, which was a direct contrast to what Todd Graham did at ASU. And you look at why ASU won the Pac-12 South this year, it's because Todd Graham recruited and signed 19 junior college transfers in his first 2 years. It's a little bit of a gamble, but when you can hit on a high percentage of those like he did, you get the rewards. And the rewards were the division title in his second year. Now, is that sustainable? If you miss on some of those junior college guys, they don't pan out, they don't make grades, whatever, then you're kind of in a world of hurt because you're creating more openings on your team. Now, Rich only signed 4 junior college transfers in his first 2 years. Typically, he said he'd probably like to bring in 4 or 5 a year, which is roughly what Dick Tomey did through most of his tenure, and Dick had great success with junior college transfers. So if they pick the right guys, it can be very rewarding. And what Rich has done, especially with these six, looks like he's got some size and playmaking ability on defense, on the defensive line and the linebacker, which is where they really need it. So if those guys, you never recruit a junior college guy to come in and just be a guy. You recruit these guys because you only have them for a couple of years and they need to be starters. So we'll find out right away next year if Rich's recruiting efforts were successful. If these guys are starters or in the rotation, then he did his job right.
If Kadeem comes back, where would you put Arizona to be picked next year in the league?
Well, that's a good question. They're going to be really, really dynamic on offense, pending the outcome of the quarterback race, which will take place through the spring and fall, because the receiving core is going to be fantastic. And when you have a receiving core that good combined with a running back that good, defenses absolutely cannot stop both at the same time, which is what makes Kadeem's season so amazing, is that there was never a play in which he wasn't the absolute focus of the opposing defense, because Arizona couldn't distract the defense with another playmaker. I'd say if Kadeem comes back, you know, I wouldn't expect Arizona's expectations to be through the roof. They'll probably still be picked like fourth in the South, because UCLA is going to be good. USC has still a lot of raw talent and a new coach, and people are still going to like ASU. So I don't see Arizona's preseason expectations necessarily going through the roof, but it would obviously give them a much better chance to have a breakthrough if Kadeem comes back.
Anthony Jimeno, thank you very much. We want to wish you and yours a great holiday season. You can read about Wildcat Sports at TucsonCitizen.com. Follow Anthony's work. Thank you, Anthony.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, Anthony Jimeno with us on The Buckmaster Show. Bottled water on The Buckmaster Show supplied by Culligan Better Water Pure and Simple. Culligan for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. Thank you, Culligan. All of our in-studio guests presented with a nice bottle of Culligan water. Adelita Grijalva will be with us tomorrow, our Friday Focus interview on The Buckmaster Show, our newsmaker interview tomorrow on the Friday edition. On behalf of Rosemary Brad, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.